You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope everybody had a great weekend, ready for the week ahead. We got Rachel on tonight for our special guest. We're missing Caesar. We got Caesar out with a little bit of a cold, and we got Nate barely hanging on. We got this flu season here, people. It is here. I'll tell you right now, it hit me twice in a month, and I don't get sick. It's been like a year and change since I've been sick, and then it hit me twice, back to back. So I hope you guys ain't out there being sick, especially with this weather, man. It's been cold, huh?
Yeah, and then it'll be 80 degrees in a couple days.
I ain't gonna be upset, okay? I'm not gonna be upset. I'm ready for the 80-degree weather and warm me back up, because I think we needed a little defrost, you know what I mean? Let me read the Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our family. All right, guys. So let's get right into it. Tonight's topic, let me flip it right there on the little ticker because I like this stuff and we could do that. Authentic reflections, getting real and honest with ourselves. And man, this topic has been brought up a bunch in the last week or so, just having that honest realization with ourselves, because the only way to get out of our grips of addiction is really to take a good look at ourselves. It's the essence of this program. It's the how, the honesty, open-minding, and willingness. And until we do all those things, we can't live a different life. And it's just getting real, man. Like, I remember in my using where I would blame every single person that's ever did me wrong. I would blame everybody for the way I was. It was their fault. I had no responsibility. I took nothing. It was everybody's fault the way I was operating. And that was it. And that was my mind was made up. And until I took that honest look, and I always say that recovery flipped the script on me, and then I was pointing at everybody else, but you point at one person, you got what, five, one, two, three, at least three or four fingers. I think it's three. Yeah, three fingers pointing back at it, like, because a thumb goes that way. you got, yeah, whatever. You got three pointing back at you. And then finally, man, it's like, you know what? Our inability to accept personal responsibility, we're actually creating our own problems. That is my favorite saying. I love it because it's so true. Our inability, because we couldn't possibly fathom that I was the problem. Like, how could I ever be the problem? I'm perfect. You didn't know that? Yeah, no, I'm not. I figured that out. As much as I want to be and try to be, it's never the case. And it's taking that daily inventory. We have to get vulnerable with ourselves, with another person. We have to open up. We have to let people in instead of putting up all those walls and protecting ourselves from the outside world because of all the bad things that's happened to me in my whole life. And all these people did me wrong and I got trust issues and all this baggage that I carry, right? And until I let those defenses down and let people in, start trusting people and trusting, actually, the biggest person was trusting myself and myself. But I had to open up and get all that crap that I've been piling up and holding on to and carrying with me all in my past, all that baggage. I had to let it out and get it out and start forgiving and moving on. I was still stuck in the 90s. I was still stuck in the 90s doing this shit because of all the people, man, that craziness. When you get real with ourselves, get open, get honest, and start living our lives, man, and start actually taking responsibility. Okay. And that's it, man. All right. Nate, what's up, man?
What is good, everybody? Yeah, let me see if I can't make some sense here in my sick haze. Yeah, this is a great subject because I have no idea who I am when I come into this deal, right? I am so lost. I have no identity. I have spent the last, I could really say my entire life, because even before I put something in my body, I was always like wearing a mask. I was always adapting to whatever crowd I was in. I would always, you know, just I always felt like I was just catching up to everybody. I wasn't who I was, who I really, what I felt inside was not a reflection of what you were seeing on the outside. Inside, I was really, really insecure. Before I knew what insecurity was, I was just really off. And then I put something in my body and I find my solution, which was in drugs and alcohol. And I have a spiritual experience. It solves every problem that I've ever had, right? I finally feel a part of. I finally don't feel anxious. I finally don't feel less than. I finally feel a part of. I found my people. I found my scene. And yeah, I'm just all in. And what happens is every feeling, every emotion, every experience is not authentic. It's artificial. It's chemically induced. And I start forming these patterns where the only way that I can experience joy, happiness, any positive emotion is through substance and or through some external circumstance. I lose who my identity, I lose my soul, my spirit. Like I am not leaning on anything inside. I am leaning on everything. I am counting on you. I am counting on this place. I'm counting on this thing to define how I feel about myself inside. And that, I promise, is a recipe for disaster. Because guess what? People, places, and things, they're fleeting. They're not, they're temporary. And they're always going to, you know, not meet my expectations. And mind you, I have some very lofty expectations of how you should treat me, regardless of how I treat you. What am I doing? I'm wearing these masks. I am so afraid and terrified of who I really am. And I am even more terrified and afraid for you to see that, who that is. I cannot let you see how much of like a scared boy I am. I have no idea how to navigate through normal social situations. I have no idea how to hold down a job. I have no idea how to follow through with anything. And I absolutely don't have any idea. Have any idea what it means to be authentic. For me, authenticity was the street stuff. Like, don't snitch, keep it real. If someone tries you, you hit them first. Don't let anybody get over on you. To me, that was being authentic. To me, going, getting busted and going to prison and not telling on somebody, that was authentic. Like, I have this such a warped view of reality, right? So of course, when I come into this deal, I have no idea what it means to be authentic or who I am as a person. All I know is that I'm afraid and I'm in pain and I don't want to hurt anymore and I don't want to be afraid anymore, but I have no idea how to get there. I just know that it has to stop, right? So I surrender. And in this surrender, I have my first glimpse of hope, right? Because finally, I'm asking for help. I'm letting you know that I don't know what to do next, right? I have no idea. I have no plans, schemes, designs. My back is against the wall. I'm out of options. Please help me. And in that vulnerability, for the first time, I am my true self. I am saying, look, I am afraid and I'm in pain. Please help me, right? And what happens is I get introduced to this fellowship. I get introduced to this God. I get introduced to a spiritual solution, and I go through this process where I take a really hard look at myself. I make a decision that I am willing to do anything it takes to remain sober, whatever that looks like. And so I go on this fact-finding mission. We call it an inventory. And lo and behold, what I find out is that the problem is me. The problem is me. And it has very little to do with drugs and alcohol and everything to do with my thinking, with my selfishness, with my self-centeredness, right? I am so consumed on what you think of me. And I feel like everybody, like it's, you're thinking about me. You're talking about me. What is this person saying? What happens if this person sees me do, like, I am self-centered to the core, right? And I have to be rid of this stuff if I even want to start being able to look at myself like clearly. And for the first time in my life, I take responsibility. This is the beautiful irony. I finally take responsibility for everything I'd done, who I was, who I've hurt. I say, look, the problem was me. And for that 1% that wasn't me, where I was victim, it is also my responsibility to heal from that. I cannot blame this person any longer. I am grown. It is now my responsibility to take action and to heal and to forgive them, forgive myself, whatever it takes so I can start moving forward. Yeah, I take responsibility. And in this beautiful release, from this beautiful admission that I am the problem, what happens is it gives purpose to all this bad, gnarly, tragic shit that I've experienced. Now, all these nothings become something. Now, I can take this experience and transmit it to somebody as experience, strength, and hope, and reach the unreachable. I can relate to another suffering alcoholic or an addict the way no doctor, no priest, no parent, no child, nobody can relate them, because I've been where they've been, seen what they've seen, felt what they felt, right? And here it is, by accepting responsibility, by going through the rest of this process, by building a relationship with my higher power, this is where I start to find who I truly am. And I promise you, the work is not done. I'm telling you, this recovery thing, you'll hear it all the time. It's really a simple process. And I promise you, if you go take the suggestions and go through this work, you will stay sober. But finding who you are and finding your purpose and getting down to the root of the problem, it's not for the faint of heart. There is some dark shit resting in the depths of my soul, right? And when this stuff starts to get unearthed, I better be prepared. That's why just in the last couple of years, some trauma that I didn't even think of really surfaced. Because guess what? If you have a conscious contact with your higher power, I promise you that he or she or it, whatever you believe in, is not going to put too much on your plate if you can't. He's going to give you as much as you can handle at that time. And in the beginning, for me, my first couple of years, it was just that real surface level, obvious stuff that I had to work through. But like the last 3 years has been that really dark, traumatic stuff that sometimes the rooms or the fellowship isn't enough. I'm not saying that it can't heal it or it doesn't get, but I had to go outside of that. I have to seek outside help for these things, because for me, I spent 20 years really doing some damage to myself and doing a lot of damage to others. And in that process, I spent a lot of time in some really gnarly environments where no young man should ever really be at. Anyway, who am I, right? This is the lifelong quintessential journey of man and woman, right? To discover, who am I? Some people are on their deathbed and be like, why am I here? What was this all for? So guess what? I have a spoiler alert. If anybody that have walked in these shoes, or have been where everybody on this screen has been, and in the comments, I promise you, this is who you are. We are uniquely qualified to help the next struggling alcoholic or addict. Right. I've discovered my purpose. Right. And in discovering my purpose, I am finally free to express myself how my higher power wishes me to. Right. I am finally able to take off my mask, be who I am. And I'm telling you, the freedom that exists in showing up authentically has been the most transformative experience of my recovery. Because for once, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, I still worry about what people think. I'm still insecure at times. I still have fears, right? But through my relationship with my higher power, through my connection with my fellows, and through constant service, getting outside of myself, I am truly able to grab on to, like Justin had said, the essence of what this recovery deal is. And that is uncovering who I truly am, so I can show up in an authentic, in an honest, and with integrity and with character. And somebody can say, holy shit, man, if he can do it, so can I. That's the beauty of this deal. We don't have to be rocket scientists. I used to define, when I was like thinking about, you know, who am I? What am I meant to do? Early on, I felt a good job, a house, a driver's license, a car, a relationship, like this is what I wanted. I still defined external circumstances or external blessings as success. And through this process, what I've discovered, who I am, who I truly am, and what success is to me today, is how I am on the inside, What work am I doing today to get closer to my truth, my purpose, and my ultimate goal, which is to be of maximum service to my fellows, not just people in the recovery community, my community, to strangers? How do I show up for my family? How do I show up for my kids? How am I improving who I am so I can show up more authentically today? And for me, it's constant self-reflection. It's constant work. It's constant seeking. And the most important aspect, and you guys know where this is going, is developing a relationship with a higher power. Not just like, please, a little simple prayers, but the awareness that this higher power is around me and in me and always present and working through everything, everyone, every instance, wherever, and owning that shit, but not being ashamed of my spirituality or that connection, because I understand today that is as strong as that connection is as strong as I am as a man, as a father, as a friend, as whatever. So today I choose to nurture that relationship. And what happens is I get closer to who I truly am, and I'm able to, I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to care if somebody doesn't like me. I have to care if, someone doesn't want to talk to me. And I'm still human. I make mistakes. I don't get it right. But one thing I know is that every night I do an inventory. Every day I do a gratitude. Every day I'm talking to multiple people in my fellowship. And every day I am putting myself in a position to be of service. And through that, I can remain humble. And through that, I can remain teachable. And I understand that I'm only scratching the surface of who I truly am. And I continue to uncover these truths on a daily basis because I stay busy with my program.
Nate, touching on that is the uncovery. This is recovery. This is uncovery is pretty much what it all boils down to. And the topic of getting real and getting honest with ourselves is getting real and honest of who we're really not. It's really digging down into those things that we had to put this on and put that on to try to show face for places that we thought we wanted to be. And the whole time we're lying to ourselves so we can be these people that we really don't really want to be.
You know? Justin, remember we were just talking about that. Like, it's not as much as who I am. It's about who I am not, right?
Yes.
Because we've identified as like losers, junkies, convicts, whatever we've identified.
Nobodies.
And we are what we tell ourselves. I have to change the narrative. I am a child of God, right? I am a spiritual being. I am a good person. I have a good heart, but I have to keep telling myself these things, because if I don't tell myself these things, the other person will remind me of what I am not.
Yeah. And that voice is so strong because we have years and years of telling ourselves what we're really not. And that voice is so strong. And as soon as we diminish it and replace those lies with truth, we can actually move forward and keep doing it. It's a habitual thing that we have to keep doing, is we keep denying that small little voice that's telling us everything we're not.
Right.
And building that self-worth, building that muscle, strengthen that muscle every day by doing the gratitude, doing the inventories, finding out where we're wrong each day and apologizing and owning up to our bullshit. And that's how we strengthen that muscle and strengthen that voice to where we can keep moving forward and get stronger and stronger and not give up.
Yeah, so. I feel like that voice is as strong. That it's a direct reflection of my spiritual connection. If I'm in it, if I'm plugged in, if I'm me and God are like, yo, bro, you're my boy, Blue. We're good. That voice is small. You know what I mean? The voice is small. I stay in the mess shorter. Everything is lessened, but it's not exaggerated. It's not a big deal. It just is, right? Mm-hmm. What freedom that no matter what life throws at you, no matter what, you can just be like, okay, this is supposed to happen. Now what do I do? There's ultimate freedom in that, man, where we don't have to react to everything and make it a catastrophe.
Yeah. My voice doesn't need to be heard on every little situation. My opinion doesn't need to be heard on every situation. And knowing the difference on where it needs to and where it doesn't. Discernment. What's up, Rachel? How are you?
I'm nervous. I'm always nervous when I do this.
Listen, I still get nervous. I still get nervous going up on here. Just don't even trip.
So lame. I love everything Nate shared. Nate always drops bombs, right? I was thinking just about this just the other day, how freeing it is and how awesome it is to like not have secrets. Like I literally don't have secrets today. Like I can walk through life and I don't have all those silent fears inside. I got to remember to say this, or somebody's going to find out that. I feel like that's the most freeing experience I've had in recovery. I've always been a crap liar. Okay. I cannot lie to save my life. Even as a kid, like I gave up on lying when I was a kid. So I just did what I did and everybody knew about it and it was whatever. But the lies I would tell myself, like the way I can lie to myself like a champ, like the things that I could tell myself and actually believe was incredible. I was my own worst enemy, beating myself down to the point where I was just so broken and didn't have a clear idea of who I was or my worth, how capable I was or anything. Like I was my own worst enemy up here. And it was like being locked in a mental prison for the majority of my life. Like the voices that would just beat me down before I could even get started. And I feel like that was a big contributing factor to seeking drugs as my solution to quiet all of that noise. And I just never felt like I was worthy. And I didn't have the ability to see myself clearly or be honest with myself about who I was and the responsibility I had in my own situation. Justin was sharing earlier that one line in the literature is it's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite. I say it all the time. Like I heard it a bunch through our inability to accept personal responsibility. It didn't hit, but that one time it hit, man, I was like, whoa, boom, mind blown. Wow. And it was like the most powerful moment too, because that was when I finally realized like, I am my own problem, but I'm also my solution. Like I do have some power in this thing. Yes, I'm powerless when I take the first substance, but up until that point, I have some power and control. Like I have some power to combat the thoughts that come to my head. When I first got to recovery, I was really broken and desperate and traumatized and scared to death, man. I was just so scared. My rock bottom, the way I experienced my rock bottom, like the dying of it and all that was, it was so terrifying that I was ready to do anything anybody told me to get clean, right? And getting real with myself and learning how to be honest with myself was the biggest step. I didn't have a problem acknowledging that I had a problem with drugs. You know what I mean? Like it was clear for everybody to see, but the victim stuff of where my situation was somehow everybody else's fault. And it was because my parents wouldn't help me and my sister kicked me out and all this stuff, never considering what I was contributing, like how I was creating all of that. Like I put my family in the position to have to cut me off and kick me out and step away because they were slowly watching me kill myself. I was slowly killing myself in front of them and blaming all of them and yelling and screaming at all of them that they weren't doing something. When I got to recovery and I had to acknowledge that like all of the things that I put myself through, my family through, my children through, that was the hardest thing. That was where honesty was the hardest. Like honestly acknowledging and accepting all of the pain that I caused. When I wrote about all that stuff on my initial fourth step, I wrote was all about like, I was still a victim. Like you did this, no, 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 no. And it was my second time around on the fourth step where it really became about what I did and who I hurt and all of the things that I contributed to my own situation. And I'm telling you what, that fourth and fifth step was the most freeing experience in my recovery. Like writing down the dark stuff that those secrets that I was still carrying, that prison that I still lived in, and actually sharing it with my sponsor without fear was incredible. And I had quite an experience with that fourth step, with the dog eating my whole fourth step, and I had to rewrite the whole thing. And I almost gave up. I almost gave up and I almost didn't redo it because that was a lot. But when I did, I wrote about some really dark things that probably would have gotten me high had I not sat down and wrote about it. And I'm really grateful that I was able to look at all of that and release it today. Like I tried to live as honestly as possible. I feel like there's a difference between being honest and living honest. You know what I mean? I could be honest about all kinds of stuff, but how am I living honestly when nobody's looking? Like how am I living? And I honestly try. I'm not perfect either. I'm human and I mess up, but when I got to recovery, I set a standard of my God looking over my shoulder with a video camera. So if I don't want him seeing this, I better not be doing this. You know what I mean? Because it's really like that. God is always right there on my shoulder. And I have that kind of conscious contact where if I start trying to do something a little left, I get that punch in the gut. And like somebody commented, the beatings get harder and harder. I don't need those divine redirects today. I don't want to get dragged. That stuff hurts, man. Like I got dragged to recovery. Like my higher power was tapping me for a long time. And I kept not wanting to do it. I'm just going to do this. I could do that. And I got dragged here hard. And that stuff hurt. So I feel like I was finally ready to be honest with myself and be honest with other people and be authentically me. Like learn who that was. I literally had to strip away all these layers of wounds, you know, through the step work to even find out who that was, because I was operating off trauma and pain. And the way I was showing up in my life was just inflicting that even more on everybody around me. And it was in examining all of the things that I'd gone through in my life and all the scars that I took up and all the ways that I found to cope with life. And like the onion, you know, one layer at a time, stripping that stuff away, I got down into who I really was. And I learned that I got to not only discover who that was, but create the woman I wanted to be. Like I had all these women around me that I had no idea how to be a responsible, honorable woman of integrity. Like I knew how to survive and I knew how to do whatever I had to do to survive, but I had no idea how to be mature and responsible and walk through life with my head held high. And I had a lot of strong women that taught me how to do that. And through that process, I got to create the woman I wanted to be, like how I want to show up in the lives of other women that come in like I did, broken and hurting and lost and needing guidance. And that's a beautiful thing. Like I get emotional when I talk about recovery and I can't help it. I'm really passionate about it. Like I shouldn't be here. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that I try to remind myself of every day. Like I shouldn't even be here. So like, how am I showing up in the world to try to help the next person who's coming in and has no idea how to make it through a day clean? And in doing that, I get to live clean. And like how I live my life just for today, but how I live my today, like decides if my tomorrow will be clean. Like if I'm alive tomorrow, if I'm going to be clean or if I'm going to be junkie something again. Like I live honestly because I do have one eye on tomorrow. I want to line up healthy and clean tomorrow and continue to make amends for all the things that I did while I was in addiction. Like I had my oldest daughter here this weekend and, you know, I dragged those kids through so much, you know what I mean? And I could throw words at them all day about, I'm sorry, and you shouldn't have been through this. And I was a crap mom, but really what they need to see is me authentically living in recovery and changing my life and doing what I have to do to make sure I keep it that way. And that's like the greatest gift that I could give them. When you live honestly, it's not that hard to be real with yourself anymore. It's not that hard to be honest when you're struggling or when you're hurting. I still have times where I question my self-worth. I still have times where I could beat myself down. My thinking can go to that dark place, like Nate said, depending on my spiritual condition. Like I can spiral like that if I allow it. But I've also gotten to the point where through the years of combating all those thoughts, it's like doing mental jumping jacks the whole time. So, you know, when this stuff starts, I've been working out. So now I know how to combat those dark thoughts. Like if I have a negative thought, I do my best to try to replace it with two positive. I got to go harder at it. Some days I win, some days I lose, but every day I show up and I do my best and I keep people around me that when I might be slipping, they call me out and they pull me up. And I'm really grateful for the people that I have that have poured into me all these years and have helped me get to where I am, because I get to live on the other side of that now today and I get to help other people. And there's nothing better than that.
Love it. Hey, Rachel, I'm truly grateful for you coming on here. I love your perspective and you belong here, just to let you know. You deserve to be here and you are just a bright light and you're helping so many people. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, man. And I think that's we have a responsibility. Get into this recovery. We have a responsibility to uphold what recovery looks like. And I don't take it lightly. I know these three people on this screen, for sure, We stand with integrity. We take responsibility for this thing because it's our responsibility to the next person. Because just like Rachel said, we weren't supposed to be here. You know what I mean? We're the one of the lucky ones. And it's a great responsibility. So thank you for coming on tonight, Rachel.
Justin, you know, real quick.
Yeah.
And the three people on here too were not perfect either. You know? One of the greatest ways that I could be honest with myself is saying, I don't know. I don't know everything. I don't know. I know I'm not perfect. And what's true humility? I know I'm not more important or less important than any one person, right? That is how I'm honest with myself today. I'm not less than, I'm not more than, I just am. And I love what Justin said, man. I need to be an example of what recovery looks like. That is so important. And I promise you, all of you guys just know us in recovery. If you had opportunity to hear our stories and where we've come from, you'll see the evidence, right? And you'll see how our higher powers have worked through our lives. And that's the message, right? Is because I know Rachel, I know Justin, and I know for sure like where I've come from, and it's direct evidence of what a miracle awaits you if you just let go, take some suggestions, and get out your way
and get honest and get real.
Honest, get honest, bro. You don't know what you're doing.
That's the biggest.
No idea.
I think that's the biggest thing is, man, I thought I knew everything. You can't tell me nothing.
You know? I didn't know it, I made it up.
Like that song, "Can't Tell Me Nothing," Kanye West.
Yeah,
because I knew everything, man. I knew everything. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was so stubborn and bullheaded and just I tried it all. I've done it all. I'm out for me. I'm Miss Independent. For real, though. Like, I remember, man, like when I was younger, I was just everything was a joke. Everything was a joke. I felt like I couldn't trust nobody. Everybody did me dirty. Like I just had so low for self-esteem. I just felt like the lowest person on the earth, but also the biggest person on the earth. And it's so weird to be in that spot. You feel like the lowest scum, but you feel like you're top tier that nobody could tell you anything, right? Because you're a know-it-all. And that's a horrible place to be, I promise you. Inside feeling like shit on the outside, I felt like, it's like Caesar says, it's Kmart in the inside, Gucci on the outside. It's exactly what it is. And through all that crap, man, I didn't take nothing seriously. Everything was a joke. And I was trying to get over on everybody. And all the whole time I was getting over on myself. All the people that were in my way that was trying to help me, the drug courts, the probation, all those people they put in my path. I was like, no, man, you're out to get me. And I took everything and tried to get over on everybody. Fake pee and everything and all that. And it sucks, man. But the whole thing with getting real with yourselves is correcting my behavior, because that is the root of all this. And we were just sharing about this the other night. It's the behaviors, man. How you living? How you living these days? Are you out here with, you know, claiming clean and living dirty? Are you out here just acting a fool? Because eventually it's going to catch up. And we don't want to live like that anymore, man. The drugs and alcohol was just a symptom of my problem. My problem is me. The way I act, the way I hold myself, my character, how I do people, how am I caring for people? How do I take care of my family? What do I look like behind closed doors? All those things matter. I don't care how big it is or how small it is. Those small things are the ones that's going to trip you up the most. It's not the big pebbles. It's the little ones that are going to throw you off your path. So all those little things that you're doing, all those white lies. And listen, I listened to a podcast the other day, and I'm sure Nate listened to it. I'm sure you did. The Spiritually Hungry Podcast. And I don't know if anybody's heard that, but if you haven't, it's a good one and I recommend it. But it's these people are just phenomenal, husband and wife team. But they're talking about, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. That's how they started it. And I loved it. But they're talking about a lie. And sometimes it's okay to tell the lies, right? But when? Are you doing it to not hurt somebody else's feelings? Or are you doing it not to hurt your feelings? Or are you doing it to make yourself feel better, right? And I'm like, man, I had to think about that. I was like, man, that's pretty good. I didn't like if somebody asked you, if your wife asked you, right? Do I look fat in this? And if it does, then you're not supposed to tell her. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like those examples of like, are you going to hurt the person's feelings by telling them that truth? And if it's something you're going to hurt their feelings, then it's kind of okay. But also, if it's doing it to make you feel better by lying, then that's when it's a problem. So it's like having that discernment. And that was a really good podcast. I don't know if you heard that, Nate. Did you listen to that? It was pretty good though, right? And I was like, damn, I didn't think about that. That makes perfect sense. It's all about the behaviors. We got to correct our behaviors because that's what's going to trip us up.
Yeah, because they go on to say too, Justin, in that podcast, they're like, when you say, oh, I'm just speaking my truth, usually you're trying to get your point across because your ego is involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're really looking to be right. Mm-hmm. You need to be careful with when we use our truth and how we use it.
The lie is dead and we do recover. We hear that all the time. And the lie is what we tell ourselves. And another thing we talk about is like most of the arguments in my life are never said, and it's never with anybody else. It's all in here.
Yeah.
Most of the biggest battles I've ever had in life are always there. They never happen.
Oh, true.
Yes. Hypothetical arguments I've won in the shower.
That should be a book, right? Hypothetical comments. It happened in the shower.
And I like, Justin, I like what you said, because the biggest lie I ever told myself is I wasn't worthy of recovery, that I couldn't do anything different. That was the biggest lie I had to dispel. The most honest I ever got with myself is when I told myself that I was worthy of something different, right? And that took a lot for me to get to, a lot of pain. And I wanted to touch on something Rachel said too that resonated was, I think this was off Steve's comment too, talking about when the beatings become unbearable or the lessons learned, may I get to a spiritual condition where I don't need pain. I don't need pain to be the great persuader, right? I can pivot because my spirit tells me this might be uncomfortable if I keep moving forward, right? And being honest with myself is being able to start listening to that gut instinct, which is to me that God instinct, right? That's that voice today. It's that inner urging, that little nudge. I have to really be open-minded enough, open-hearted enough, and have an open enough spirit to be able to really tune into that frequency, because that stuff will keep us out of some major scrapes and help us continue to grow in this deal.
Appreciate y'all, man. All right. You guys want to add anything? Good?
I'm good. I need some NyQuil, man.
NyQuil is your friend when you're sick. I'm telling you, man, that sickness has been undeserving, right? It's been relentless this year. Hey, I hope you guys got something out of this. And hey, this week, check your behaviors. What are you going through? Maybe do a thorough inventory at the end of the day and figure out where you were wrong and promptly admit it to somebody and apologize. Our ego could get in the way sometimes and really trip us up, and it could get out of whack. It can go out of control. I know mine can. I ain't apologizing. I don't know who the hell they think they are. They don't know who the hell I think I am. But I hope you guys have a great week. I love y'all.